Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. A little late connecting there, all the way here from Indiana. Joining me today is one of our faves here, Chris Williams, but special guest. We're really excited about this, huh, Chris?
Very excited about it.
All right, so let me tell you the title of the book, and then I'll tell you the man that wrote it, because it's one of the best book titles ever. And, 10 years from now, if I'm still writing, I might use this title. Just go ahead and rip it off. But listen to this, Rise of the Servant Kings. Now, is that just the best title ever? And here's the subtitle, What the Bible Says About Being a Man. Now, if you're writing a book about being a man, you better be one, huh? So, and fortunately for Ken, he is a real man. LAPD, former LAPD cop. And anyway, Ken, welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're back.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. And by the way, I ripped that title off.
Did you?
So it's already been ripped off once. It was my good friend Jody Dillo who wrote it. And I said, hey, can I use your title?
Oh, that's good. Well, we're of like spirit here. And, you know, Ken has done a few things in his life. He was not just a LAPD police officer, but the 77th Division, South Central LA, was really a tough place, and you had to be a man to, or a really strong woman to be able to function there. But he is also the head of a multi-million dollar foundation that gives away millions and millions of dollars, and he just set out and in the real estate industry before that, built his own company up and sold it to the second largest commercial real estate firm in the world. And so he's done a few things, and he's one of those men that I really respect. And we're really glad to have you here, Ken. The big headline here, though, today is, ladies and gentlemen, he is head of Promise Keepers. The new Promise Keepers is what I call it. And, Ken, just right off the bat here, what are you thinking about the big event July 31st and August 1st? You think it is going to happen in the stadium, or it's going to be a virtual event?
Well, that's an important question, especially for you, since you're going to be a speaker there, and we're delighted to have
yes.
you.
Yes. Thank you. Know. Greatest we're honor ever.
Right now. Yeah, and you have, I mean, the message that you're going to preach, I can't wait to hear it. Right now we're planning on being at the stadium. We're in contact with the Trump administration because the Republican convention is 1 week after the Promise Keepers meeting. And so if that isn't going to happen, then we need to take an assessment of ours. And the issue we have is that we have people coming from 47 different states and from, I think, 8 different countries. We have them coming from Zimbabwe and Norway. And so if it's a problem, you know, it would really be a problem to have 80,000 guys in such close proximity and then take off all over America and the world. And so we're just staying prayerful, but as of now, we're completely planning on being there.
Okay. Well, that's what I would be doing if I was you, too. All right. So what I'd like, if you'd like to talk with Ken, Chris, myself, we'd really like to focus on some men things. But I think if you have a friend that needs a little help with or encouragement in being a man, we're going to talk about this book, too. We'll talk about Promise Keepers. We'll talk about the crisis we're in. But I'll tell you, Ken is a leader. And if you have a question about leadership, manhood, about being a servant king, well, it's just such a great, great phrase. You join us, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Ken Harrison. He's the author of Rise of the Servant Kings. We have this in our warehouse right now. And if you want to give a gift of any amount, you could not be giving at a greater time of need. But a gift of any amount, I'm going to send you a copy of this book, and it is fantastic. And I hope and pray that you'll get it, give it great gift to somebody. And before we get into some details, one of the people I also respect greatly is Oz Guinness. And I remember sitting by Oz Guinness at one of our Women of Faith events. I've never seen a guy laugh so much and enjoy himself, but a tremendous theologian. And he wrote a book called The Call, which is fantastic. But listen to what he says about this book. Some authors write with ink and some with water. Harrison writes with blood and fire, and his soul-stirring call to men to rise to the challenge of the hour is bold, timely, and heartwarming. If Christian men respond as the promise keepers described here, the world will be a different and a better place. Ken, there's never been a greater time in my life where we've needed true men to step up in the midst of uncertainty. Now, there have been, you know, like 9/11 and world wars and all of this, but manhood in the midst of an unknown enemy or the unknown impact, it's really a unique time. And what do you think that is the biggest challenge to men who are afraid to step up and be the man that God called them to be? What is that biggest hurdle for any man to get over, or what's holding most men back?
Yeah, well, I found that fear comes from disobedience to God. And
there you go.
You and Sherry are at the forefront of this, because sexual sin makes cowards of men. And we are locked up in sexual sin and the lies of Satan. And until men repent and practice purity, they're going to continue to be cowards.
Well, I tell you, I couldn't, I don't think you could have said it better or more succinctly. And it really is amazing what the pornified man does and how pornography disintegrates manhood. Just the exact opposite. You know, Hugh Hefner essentially said, forget what the Bible says, do this and you'll be a real man. But in reality, pornography neuters a man, takes away, I mean, it really emasculates him. A lot of people, they have sexual dysfunction because of it. And then they're no longer secure in their manhood. And once Hugh Hefner died, then these kinds of things came out, and we saw that was true about his own life. He was a liar. The Bible is true. And so I really believe that at the heart of manhood, Satan has done a horrible thing with pornography. But talk to us a little bit about the phrase or the name servant king. What is a servant king?
The Lord has called all men to be leaders. And for a single man, that can be the people around you in your sphere. For a married man, obviously, it's your wife and your children. And when we understand that we're leaders, that means that we're accountable for all the stuff that's within our sphere. And where we see, again, a cowardice and a lack of leadership, we can see in all the abortion clinics that are open right now. Francis Schaeffer said, now Guinness told me this, actually. Francis Schaeffer had said that every abortion clinic in America should have a sign out in front of it that says, open by permission of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that is so true, because if we as men were taking responsibility for who we are, if we were standing up, there's no way today there will be 1,700 babies murdered in the womb. Well, maybe a few less, because the governor of Texas does have a spine and has closed all the abortion clinics right now. There's more babies surviving by far in Texas the last few days than our people are dying from the virus because of that. So God will always turn the curse of this Satan to his glory if he has people who will stand up for him. And so I would say a servant king, it means it's a man who stands up and says, I'm not going to wait around for somebody else to change things. I'm not going to watch Fox News and whine and complain. I'm going to change things. What is it in me? If there's a breakdown in my marriage, I don't blame my wife. I say, what do I need to do to change in myself to make this marriage better before I start looking about what does my wife need to change in her?
Well, I just think that is so powerful, and it's so hurtful to hear that because Christian men have not stood up, things are happening, such as so many babies being aborted. And, you know, one of the things I want people to know, I want every woman to hear this especially. When I sat down with Ken, he told me that he had a real need to bring men who have pressured women to have an abortion to a place of repentance and then healing and wholeness. So I don't know what your preconception about Promise Keepers might be, but I got to tell you, this the heart of Ken and his team there, to know that that is a priority, that's something that you rarely ever have a men's movement be as a priority. And then also he talked about the need for sexual integrity. And so I'm so grateful I'm going to get to speak, because I'll tell the story, my most regretful thing of my life, to pay for an abortion when I was in college. And to be exposed to pornography at age 4, when you begin to objectify women through pornography, a woman gets pregnant, all that you see is another object inside of an object. It's horrible what it does. Well, Ken, let me ask this, then we're going to go to a phone call. Let's just say a guy is convicted already. He says, you know what, I'm just not the man God wants me to be. What do you think could be a really great first step for him to try to get his act together?
Well, gosh, a knowledge of Scripture, I think, is what's really hurting and lacking in a lot of us right now. And I actually have to record a sermon here because I can't be in the church today later on. And I'm speaking in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 basically says that if we transform the culture rather than being conformed to the culture, then we can know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And so God gives us a promise. We can know his will in our lives if we're transformed and not conformed. The problem is so many of us are conforming to culture because we don't truly understand the Bible. And one of the things I'll be preaching on is the fact, one of the biggest things that holds us back from truly knowing who we are and transforming culture is we don't know who Jesus is. And I would encourage everybody out there, if you have a chance and you really want it, well, where do I start? Read Revelation 1 through 3, where Jesus comes back to the earth, and the Apostle John, who walked with him for 3 years, sees Jesus, and he falls on his face as he's so terrified of who Jesus is today. And Jesus picks him up in his love and says, John, it's okay, but let me tell you, I'm walking among the churches, and I'm judging the hearts of the believers, and he has some letters for people. When we realize we have caught a feckless and weak Jesus, who's not not really Jesus, he's an idol called Jesus. And we like him that way because he's not scary. But when you read Revelation 1, you realize that the real Jesus is terrifying, and he loves us anyway. And that's what makes it so amazing. That's the Jesus that we need to serve. And so I would say to all the men out there, you want to start really being a man, don't look at culture, look at Scripture. And the first thing to do is realize who Jesus was, the ultimate man, and then you'll be on the right road. You'll build the right foundation.
Amen. And you know, when you look at Scripture, one of the great heroes of the Bible is Gideon. And, you know, he was the weakest member of his family, and his family was part of the weakest clan of that day. And when the angel of the Lord approaches him, he's hiding out. So, you know, this is who God chooses sometimes to lead and to do things in a miraculous way, because God gets all the glory. Because it's obvious that Well, he was a weak guy, and yet look what he did. And he's a great hero of the Bible. So let's go to the calls. I want to talk to Julie. She's calling from KKLA in Los Angeles. You're on with Chris Williams, Ken Harrison, and Steve Arterburn. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I wanted to talk about or get some advice on how do you process emotional pain with God. My normal thing is to run from it, but I'm really trying to learn how to process it. And sometimes it gets very difficult. My dad passed away a couple of years ago. And now I'm dealing with issues with family. We don't talk that much anymore because I had to get an attorney to protect myself from my brother. And that's very difficult because I can tell the relationship is strained and I don't know how to handle it. I'm very angry and I'm struggling with forgiveness with him. Mm-hmm. And also just, I mean, this is way off subject, but also as Christians, how do we deal with this COVID thing? How do we interact with people? Do we walk around with masks? Do we, you know, because it's involving my job, you know.
Right.
How do we as Christians handle that and be full of faith, but yet follow the guidelines of what the government's telling us to do? So I know it's two different subjects, but...
Well, yeah, let me ask you a question. Your father passed away. What was your relationship like with your dad?
It was close, but it was also hard because it got better as the years went on. He accepted Christ the latter part of his life. But in the beginning, it was hard because my mom was sick for about 15 years, so I took care of her. But he looked at me sexually sometimes. And that was hard, so I couldn't really get close to him because of that. It was hard to get close and hug him and those kinds of things, so that was hard.
You know, hearing that, it's not surprising that you feel a lot of insecurity during these times, and it's also not surprising that he raised a son that doesn't care about anything but the money and all of that versus his sister, who he could love. Chris, you have a thought about this, and then I want Ken to challenge fathers of daughters here afterwards to be the man God's called them to be. But Chris, what are you thinking here for her?
Yeah, Julie, what came to mind is in processing our pain and the hurts that we carry and the fears that we carry, I really go back to the greatest command. You know, it's to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as yourself. So there's three portions to this. One, you're doing a good job of recognizing what is happening inside of yourself. You're self-aware and taking ownership of it. The next thing is to connect that to other people. This is where good counseling, good therapy, or even good groups comes in, and friends. Safe, supportive friends that and people that do understand the grief process. You know, Job's friends had all kinds of advice that were really actually damaging in the end because they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. So you want to connect there. And then in these hard spots, it's having that courage in our prayer to just do that. When we're confessing, we're not just confessing our sin, but we're confessing our condition to God. God, here is where I'm at today. The Psalms really help lead us there. We can really see that there is this raw honesty of what is happening and turning to God in that. And it takes a lot of perseverance. You know, and there's two aspects of love that I hear to really access in your life today, and that is love always protects and love always perseveres. But love is going to lead you through that.
And Julie, there are two professionals that you really need right now. One, and we're going to help you find one, is a good counselor. But and if you don't have it, you really need, and hold on, we'll talk to you more after the break. Okay. But if you don't have a great attorney, I mean, that's the person that needs to be dealing with your brother. When it turns to finance and it's all about ripped off and money and the estate, you just let the attorney deal with the person who isn't dealing with you as a sibling, but as a source of money. Now, when we come back, I'm going to ask Ken to challenge fathers who are struggling and look at the impact it has on a woman later in life when you're not the secure source that you need to be.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Ardburn here. I'm going to send a copy of the Emotional Freedom Workbook here. If you've never seen that, boy, this is one that stood the test of time, and I'm going to give that to you. I hope that it will be something that will benefit you. I think it will. I also just want to say to folks, if you're struggling with all this, you know, what do I do, and how do I be, and it's really brought up the insecurity in your life. I gave the devotion this morning at New Life, and I just talked about, you know, don't ignore the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit is there to empower you, to strengthen you, to give you wisdom, to help you know. It will help you recall what you need to know in these situations, and so I want to encourage anybody that's struggling. You need to get help, of course, with other folks. But get on your knees and say, Holy Spirit, maybe I've ignored you a bit. Maybe I've been focused on God the Creator or Jesus Christ. And I've totally ignored who Jesus sent to empower me, to comfort me, to strengthen me, to give me wisdom in these tough times. I want to challenge you to do that. I think we'd all benefit from it. Well, Ken, let me just use this call as a way for you to talk to fathers about being what I think is a great call of everybody, a servant king, especially in the area of raising a daughter.
Yeah, I can just imagine the men out there when they hear a call from Julie and they think, well, what will my kids say about me when I die and have my relationship?
Yeah.
And so often I give talks on fatherhood especially, and men will come up to me and say, well, I wish I could do that, but I've already screwed it up. My child is already 10 or 20 or 30. And I would just say to all the men out there, your children never stop wanting you to be their hero. And you may have screwed it up royally. The power of an apology, the power of acknowledging who they are, the power of going to your 40-year-old daughter and saying, I'm sorry, I did that, but I've given my life to Christ. I'm a new man in Him. And be ready for the pain that may come your way. But what a man does is sits and listens and acknowledges and doesn't defend. But I would tell you it's never too late. I don't care how old your child is, they want you to be their hero.
I couldn't agree more, and I tell you, once again, Ken, you just say some things that I think every man need to hear. When we're leading, a lot of times we think that the leader is the talker. And when it comes to fatherhood, and well, any kind of leadership, the real leader is a listener, and the real leader is an admitter or a confessor that, hey, maybe I've messed up here. And it just, you know, we talk about this stuff all the time, but to hear you that you're leading Promise Keepers and this is how you're encouraging men to lead. You know, I tell guys all the time, the spiritual leader's the guy that's first one up, first one to say sorry, first one to study the Bible, first one to ask for forgiveness. That's the true spiritual leadership. Well, let me take a minute here. And by the way, if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. He's got another meeting he's going to go to. But Larry, come in, talk to us. We've got our Everyman's Battle coming up, and we're going to have a lot of Promise Keepers there, and they're going to be keeping promises. And then we need support here. So talk to us a little bit about that before you go.
Okay, real quickly, the Everyman's Battle. We announced yesterday we're doing this virtually through Zoom, and nobody will have to leave their home. It's going to be a great workshop, a one-day thing, April 18th. We had our first sign-ups yesterday, so
nice.
People are coming. I just want to encourage you guys or you wives that know your husbands need it, give us a call, get signed up. We may have to limit space on this. We'll It's so brand new. We're learning as we go. But don't miss the opportunity, please, and sign up.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. Never more affordable, never easier. You don't have to travel to do it. So this is the time to get involved.
Financially, we really need your help. And I want to read two sentences from a letter we got. Man sent a donation, said, "Though not as much as I would like to give, I realize every gift matters in the work New Life does to help people. COVID-19 has impacted our country every way imaginable, and people will need your help. One way to beat the depression of this virus is to reach out and help others in whatever way we can." He chose his way to help is by sending a gift, and I'm just appealing to you to do the same. And nothing is more important to us right now than Club New Life. We can grow that. It will make a big difference as time goes. So call us and make a gift. We've had gifts of every size recently, $5 and $10, and we've had some gifts that were 4 and 5 figures, and we need it all. The giving has slowed down, and we need to keep it up. So I just want to ask you to please make a gift. You can call our 800 New Life, or you can go online. And I also want to put a plug in for Promise Keepers of my own, just because it had such an impact on my sons when I took them years ago to the L.A. Coliseum. And I've got to sit down and have a lunch with Ken and talk things through, and this is going to be a great event. He's got the heart and the passion. And so please, after you sign up for Club New Life, go to promisekeepers.org and sign up.
Really, it's a great opportunity, whether it's the event in Dallas or it's in some other form, but what a great opportunity to organize some men in your neighborhood or your church or your group and get there, however it's going to be. I mean, get there. Look into it. The speakers are going to be great, and I didn't mean that about myself, but I just meant it's just a great theme, agenda, and I'll tell you, it's led by a solid, believing man who loves the Lord. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. The title of the book, Rise of the Servant Kings, by Ken Harrison. What a great and wonderful book. I think you would love this. And, you know, Father's Day's not all that far away. And I want to encourage you to give this book to a man that could really enjoy a book that's positive about fatherhood, negative about our culture, and steers us back to what we call here at New Life the true truth. And of course, you know, we are based on truth, transformation, and redemptive relationship here. We always have been. And when Ken steps out and starts quoting Romans and the fact that you could be transformed by changing the way that you think, and the way you change that thinking is get scripture in there and lay that foundation of truth. I mean, it fits with everything that we believe here. Now, I just want to say one more thing about every man's battle. You're never going to get this right unless you get that taken care of. And, and as Larry mentioned there, we're taking signups for a new way to do it, and it's easier. And so reading this book would be a great start for you to see how, you know, there's a path you could follow. And that path, it takes you off the path of sexual temptation, lust, and seeing women as mere objects. Well, Ken, I want to get back to the book a little bit, but a lot of times a man, you talk in your book about having this habit of lust, and how can he redirect that habit? It's such an important thing, because as we've got 20 years anniversary of Every Man's Battle, the book, we started that out by saying bounce your eyes, move away from it and stuff. But you're talking about any kind of habit, you can literally redirect that habit. What are you talking about there?
Yeah, a habit is only a habit until you're aware of it, and then it's a choice. And so
that's,
we understand.
Let me write that down. That's right.
I'll say that again. A habit is only a habit until you're aware of it, and then it's a choice.
There you go.
And Holy Spirit, what did Jesus say when he first promised that the Holy Spirit would come? He didn't say, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to make you speak in tongues or dance around or feel emotional or a lot of things that we put on the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world of sin. That is the number one the Holy Spirit does before he does all that other stuff. And so when we feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, Satan is going to come along. We have an enemy who's going to whisper in your ear and say, you failed, and you're just going to fail again. So why avoid pornography today? You're just going to break down tomorrow like you did 1,000 other times. Mm-hmm. But we have to understand that we don't fight in our flesh. Romans 7 is full of Paul talking about, I try to do religion on my own, and I'm so miserable, and the things I should do, I don't do. Oh, wicked man, who will save me from this? And then he says, oh, thank the Lord Jesus Christ. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the Holy Spirit in you will change your desires to the point where you see, when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you fall in love with his people. And you begin to look at pornography in such a way, and lust is all the extension of it, in that those girls who made those movies didn't do it because they were having fun. They did it because they've been exploited, they've been trafficked, they've been damaged, they've been abused. And those people who are making those movies aren't doing it because they're your friend. They're doing it because every time you click, they make more money to exploit more women. And what happens is, God changes our desires from the inside. Well, we become the kind of man that to see a girl in that situation, we would want to run up with a blanket and cover her up and say, you don't have to do this anymore. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about healing. But that's not going to happen in your flesh. It's not going to happen by trying really hard. It's going to happen by throwing down with the Lord Jesus Christ, getting on your knees and saying, Lord, I failed a million times, and I may fail again, but I know that just like the prodigal son's father, when I turn to you, you will come running to me and grab me and wrap your arms around me, and Lord, I need your help, and he will bring you his help. That's what Romans 8 is about. It's about living life in the spirit and not in the flesh.
So powerful. And I know there are some men that just heard that here you are, your number one link to sex trafficking is looking at pornography, and you're lusting after somebody's daughter or sister or mother, and rather than do what a man would do, run up and throw a blanket or look away, you're there. And I have to believe just an inkling of vision of what God could do with you would cause you to want to change. And it, you know, the thing is, if we just sit here and tell you looking at those images is a bad thing, then all we've done is add to your shame. But that's not what we're doing. There is a way out. And you can take that way out if you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, I got to tell you, a great start on anything for any man is this book. You can listen to Ken. You can see he has wisdom beyond his years. And it's all in this book. And this is why he's got so... I mean, if I could get the endorsements on my book that he gets on his, I could sell a book or two. But these are life-changing concepts here from a guy that's been on the street in the toughest area of police work to a guy that's run an international real estate business, now in charge of Promise Keepers, and also one of the most amazing foundations giving away millions of dollars to folks. Let's take another phone call here, and let's go to Abby from Seattle, Washington. Hi there.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm at a crossroads.
Okay, let's hear about that.
Well, I'm in the process of filing for divorce from my husband of 20 years after, you know, cyclical patterns of deception, lying, cheating, illegal activities, alcohol addiction, and porn addiction. And my question is, because I'm a Christian, I'm struggling with, is it right for me to? I mean, I know I need to protect myself. I know I'm an enabler. I know all of those things, but I need to know and feel, you know, a sense of peace that I'm doing the right thing.
Okay, so you have to tell us what you have done to try to pull the marriage back together.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've done therapy, Christian therapy, you know, with a licensed counselor. We've done CR. He was actually the ministry leader for CR for 7 years. And DA, because there's debt involved. We've done Debtors Anonymous, so a lot of support groups, and you know, I've tried to put out the fires for so long. I'm exhausted physically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me see what Chris has to say, and then we'll hear from Ken on what he thinks. Chris, what are you thinking here?
To start off, Abby, there is biblical precedence for divorce in the case of infidelity. Obviously, we're the reason Steve's asking the questions, we're going to fight for marriage as much as we possibly can. But this goes back to the fact that your husband, for whatever reason, can't fight for it or doesn't fight for it. And as a result, you're put in harm's way over and over and over and over again. And there just comes a point in time where you can't show up to be the person that God has intended for you to be with the harm continuing to happen over and over and over again. And so I would say in releasing this, what you're doing is just that. You're releasing your husband to his sin. You're saying, you know, you can have it. It's yours. But I am no longer participating in it, and this marriage doesn't work. Because at the end of the day, sadly enough, it sounds like you've worked on it long enough, hard enough, that, Abby, you don't have a marriage right now to begin with. And all you're doing with the divorce right now is acknowledging his decision to leave you.
Yeah. And I've got to go to a break here in just a second. And when we come back, I want to hear from Ken on this. But I do want to say this, that Abby, if you went through a period of enabling, let's say, you could, and sometimes women will enable something for years, and then they wake up and then they leave. And you don't want to essentially have been part of the training that this is okay, and then all of a sudden it's not okay.
Yeah.
And that's something that you have to search your own heart for. The other thing is, and I'll send you Take Your Life Back, you have to be sure that you've, even though he's a really big target on all of these things that you mentioned, that you've taken whatever size target you have and that you've done your own work, not, you know, waiting for him to say, okay, I want to stay married or whatever. And those things are things that you really, it takes a lot of soul searching there. But we'll hear from Ken when we come back. Anybody wanting a copy of this amazing book, I just love it, Rise of the Servant King, gift of any amount, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We've got Ken Harrison on, head of Promise Keepers. July 31st, August the 1st, we want you to sign up. We want you to go. It's going to be an amazing event. This brand new book, I'm really glad that we got it, and gift of any amount, I'll send it to you, Rise of the Servant Kings. Ken, any quick comment here? I've got one other call I want to go to before we're finished with the program. But any thoughts here for her and leaving this man after all this time?
Yeah, sure, I'll be quick. Obviously, we don't know enough information to really give very specific advice, but I would just say, Abby, I'm always a proponent of women protecting themselves, especially in situations of sexual infidelity or whatever. But the other question you have to ask is that the number one focus always wants to be a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're going to leave, search your heart. Are you leaving because you want to find a different man that will take care of you better and you're looking to get remarried, or are you really looking to protect yourself so that you can be free to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and pray desperately for your husband to come to repentance? And I think I would just examine yourself, examine your heart, make sure that your relationship with the Lord Jesus is number one, and then let everything else fall from there.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Ken. That is brilliant, wise advice. And let me just send you, Abby, a copy of Take Your Life Back. I think that's going to help you. Theopolis has a manhood question here, Landover, Maryland, WAVA. What's the question for us here, Theopolis?
Yes, God bless you, brethren. I'm a 71-year-old man, and I've been an elder in the church for a while. But my question is referenced with Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, verses 24 to 26.
And all right, let me just read that for folks. Let me read that to folks so they'll know what we're talking about. It says, I will bring the most wicked of nations to take possession of their houses. I will put an end to the pride of the mighty, and their sanctuaries will be desecrated. When terror comes, they will seek peace in vain. Calamity upon calamity will come, and rumor upon rumor. They will go searching for a vision from the prophet. Priestly instruction in the law will cease. The council of the elders will come to an end. Hey, that's not a very pleasant passage of Scripture there. So what's the question about it?
Is that Ecclesiastes 7, the 7th chapter, verses 24 to 26?
It sure is.
Okay. Yeah. But maybe I got it a little twisted, but the Scripture says
What's the biblical principle that you're asking about? Whether we got the verse right or not.
That if a man pleases God, he shall escape from her. It says a woman's hands are like bands, her heart is like a net, but the sinner shall be taken by her. So as Brother Ken was saying, we've got to really repent and rely on the gospel, the finished work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So Ken is on track. I may not be able to comment like I want to, but I think that's the only practical solution that we have.
Okay. Ken, any thoughts here for Theopolis and the biblical principle that he's talking about?
Yeah, Theopolis, first, you've got the coolest name ever.
No kidding.
One of the things we need to remember when we see in Scripture is that oftentimes when the Bible refers to a woman without, you know, just in general, it's actually referring to a body of believers. And when it refers to a man in general, it's referring to individuals. So when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who put a little bit of leaven into the dough and it filled up the whole dough, Paul goes back to that same reference about a little bit of leaven affecting the whole dough. He's talking about staying away from sin in a body of believers. If we allow sin into, like, say, the church, 1 Corinthians 5, that can infect the entire church. And so, since you didn't really know what scripture you're referring to, I can't refer specifically to it. But what you quoted, it sounds to me a verse that the Bible is talking about. Be careful about the bodies of wicked people. Stay away from those bodies of wicked people.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, and I think that Ecclesiastes is really helpful, and it shows us that the things of this world that we are seeking are safety, security, confidence, well-being from wealth, women, you know, or lust, all of the things that are fleeting, the things that will pass away, i.e. the things under the sun, apart from God, will be chasing wind. It'll lead us to great places of emptiness. And that's why I love Promise Keepers, because it's helping us men understand that, listen, chasing after these things that ultimately end up in sinful and despairing places will not work. We've got to stop doing this. We've got to turn our hearts back to God and really understand Him. And just for me personally, Ken, I just was telling Steve at one of the breaks, I went to the first ever Promise Keepers because I actually grew up right outside of Boulder, Colorado. And I just remember the growth of that thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, going from a few thousand that first year there at Folsom to filling the entire stadium just in year two. But the most important thing was that as a young teenage boy, I was able to see thousands of men worship and follow God, and mm-hmm. what an emboldening encouragement that was for me as a young Christian.
Amen. And we're going to do that again. Ken, I only have a couple minutes left. Encourage men. I want you to encourage them. Well, I'll encourage them to get the book, but encourage them to come to Promise Keepers and encourage them to be the men that they're called to be.
Yeah, I'll just give you a personal note. It's really, I won't tell the story, but the Lord divinely put this together and called me to this, and I really came kicking and screaming. Steve knows the story. I didn't want to do this, and part of the reason is because Promise Keepers is such a beloved thing. I mean, an emotional experience for so many men.
Yes.
To pick up the mantle of Coach McCartney, who's become a dear friend, and to be responsible for something that someone else built, it's like, man, Lord, I don't want to do this, because, you know, it's like taking over, you know, the Alabama football program as a new coach. All you have to do is go down. You can't get
right.
any better.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, yeah, Ken, I'm not interested in your pride or your opinion. Just go do what I told you to do. And so that's what I'm doing. As far as coming to the event, there's a thing, and I hope it's able to come about because, you know, it's a stadium, and I have faith that it will. But you guys will know, there's the experience of hearing 80,000 men singing Amazing Grace.
Yes.
There you go.
So many men in tears tell me, my God, the power of that feeling of all those baritone voices. And when you get all those guys in there, all the little masks come off, the little hypocrisy comes off, and there's an authenticity and genuineness that you see in men. The other thing I hear is how many guys in their late 30s and early 40s now will tell me, I went with my dad when I was 12 or 13, and it's the first time my dad told me he loved me. Or at the time I saw my dad just fall on his knees and repent. And I've heard stories from more women who said, my husband went as an abuser, as an alcoholic, as a workaholic, who always put me down. He came back and fell on his knees by my bedside and said, I'm so sorry. And our lives were transformed. And I'll tell you the quick story is, when I first took over Promise Keepers, I saw there were all these little tiny givers. And there was one woman that had given $5 a month for 25 years. And I asked the Denver Seminary intern to call some people and ask them what they were giving to and whatnot. He called her, and she said that her husband was a pastor, and he went to Promise Keepers in Indianapolis. He was so transformed that she said that she promised the Lord she would give every penny she had for the rest of her life. And she said to him, son, I hope you can ask not to give me full more money because I'm giving everything I have. That's the kind of power Promise Keepers brought.
Amen. All right, for information on that and the book, call us. Join us for the next Rope program, 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.